Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Wouldn't it be nice to know everything that is going to happen in your life, what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, all those types of things, to know without a doubt, hey, tomorrow, this is what's going to take place, and the day after that, and wouldn't it be nice to have that knowledge? Some of you, maybe not. You know, I think sometimes when we are in our times of life, certain situations that are happening, sometimes we like to know the outcome of those things and would like to know, you know, what is God doing in this? I'd like to know, hey, how's this all going to turn out? And I think a lot of times those things are veiled from us, they're shielded from us, they're hidden from us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that are revealed to us, they belong to us and our children so that we may walk in His ways. And sometimes the Lord does keep certain things hidden from us. Why? How? When? But then there are times that when we are looking for decisions in life as we are following God and we are following His Word, He reveals those things to us a little bit each time, and we walk in that light that He gives us. But I also find in Scripture, there are certain times when God just completely turns on the light and shines it brightly, and He says, this is the will of God. And so for a few weeks, we're going to spend some time here looking at exactly what Scripture says is the will of God. And so if we can know these things as He's revealed them to us, it's our responsibility to walk in that truth, believe in that truth, and live that truth out, because He's not keeping it hidden from us. He's telling us plainly, this is the will of God. When I was a youth pastor, there were many times, you know, you'd have teenagers that would ask you and say, what do you think I should do? Should I do this? Should I do that? I'm thinking about going off to college somewhere. Which college do you think I should go to? You know, whatever it may be. They were always asking for what the will of God is for their life. You see sometimes even young people when they've now gotten to that point where they are starting to think about getting married, you know, whom should I marry? Where should I live? Where should I work, right? All these questions. What is the will of God? Maybe when you get a little bit older, you know, and you're having children, and maybe there needs to be a job change, or there needs to be certain situations that takes place in your family. We're asking direction. What is the will of God for my life? Well, God plainly tells us some certain things that are for sure. You can write them down. You can mark them down. This is the will of God. What Jonas read here just this morning out of John chapter 6, let me set the background here for you. Jesus has just been feeding the 5,000, and Jesus departs there for a little while. The people kind of stay around, and they show back up. They meet with Jesus, and Jesus is like, hey, you're not looking after me because you want something really good. You just want a free meal. I'm just a meal ticket to you. And Jesus starts conversing with them, and He starts talking about the bread, the manna that came down from heaven that the Father gave to the children of Israel. And Jesus basically tells them, He says, I am that bread. I am the bread that the Father has sent. If you, those that eat of me, He says, you'll never hunger again. Those that drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And so that brings us here to this point here in John chapter number 6. And God explicitly is going to tell us what the will of God is, what the Father's will is. And God does have a will. And so I'm going to give you a few things here about what the Father, what His will is, how God accomplishes His will, and how that will actually impacts us as people. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. The Father has a will, and it is awesome. The Father has a will, and it is awesome. So let's take note of a few things. Number one, the Father has a will. First, we see that He has a will. Jesus reveals the will and the purpose of God, the Father, for every believer. Check out verse number 39 again. He says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Notice that word "all" there. Jesus speaks about all that the Father has given me. All that the Father has given me. The Father has given people to the Son, from what Jesus says here. He says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me." And so the Father gives people to the Son. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, we get a glimpse of what all these people are, who all these people are, everyone that has been given to the Son. And it tells us that there is a multitude, a host of people of every tribe, of every nation, of every tongue that make up the redeemed people. And He says, "These are the people that the Father has given me." Listen to what John writes in Revelation 7, 9 through 10. "There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And so there's this great multitude that no one could even number. And these are all the people that the Father has given to the Son. This is a wonderful truth to know, that the Father has given people to the Son. Now notice how this connects with verse number 37 here. Because He says this, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." See how verse 37 and verse 39 are connected there? All that the Father gives me. Let's allow that phrase to really sit on our hearts here for just a moment. Think about this and try to take it in. All that the Father gives me. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a gift of the Father to the Son. He has given you to the Son. All the people who have been given by the Father to the Son come to Him, is what Jesus says. And this is how you can know that you are a gift of the Father to the Son, that you have come to the Son. So how can I know that I've been given to the Son? Well, because I have come to Him, and it's been a gift. You've come to believe in the Son, and that is the clear evidence that you were given to the Son by the Father. Now, notice what Jesus says again here back in verse number 39. "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." He makes this remarkable statement about the Father's will here. You see what Jesus is saying? The Father has given this great multitude of people of every tribe, of every nation, of every tongue. He's given Him to the Son, And these people come to me. They look to me. They trust me as their Savior and their Lord, and I will never let them go. He says, I will lose nothing, that I should lose nothing. This is the will of my Father. Now, I want you to notice particularly what the Lord Jesus says here. Help me out here. Is it the Father's will? It is the Father's will that he should lose what? What? Can't hear you. What? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, that is a very unusual expression here. Notice Jesus does not say, it is the Father's will that I should lose none of the people whom he has given to me. But he says, this is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. You find later on in John 17:12, in his high priestly prayer to his Father, Jesus prays this: while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. That was Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, don't miss this powerful truth here. All those that the Father gives to Jesus, Jesus never loses any of them. He keeps them. They've been given to him by the Father. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, why don't you flip over there with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. We're told that on the last day, Jesus will stand in the presence of his Father. And as he's standing there in the presence of his Father, with all the many redeemed people of the earth, all these people, millions and millions of people that have come to believe in the Son, Jesus is standing there. And listen to these words, what we find here in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. For it was fitting that he by whom all things exist in bringing many sons to glory should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, look at these words. Behold, I and the children God has given me. So here's this picture of Jesus in heaven with all the many redeemed people, and he's standing before the Father, and he says, Father, here I am, and all the children, all the people that you have given me, they're all here. Every single one of them is accounted for. I've come to do what you have given me to do. I have kept them. But I want you to see in this verse that we're looking at today is Jesus is saying something more than just all these people. He says again, look at the verse. This is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. In John 17, Jesus is saying that none of his people will be lost. But here in John 6, Jesus gets very personal and specific, and he says, no part of you will be lost. In John 17, Jesus says to his disciples, I will save every one of you. And here in John chapter 6, Jesus says, I will redeem every part of you. I will lose nothing. What does he mean by that, that phrase, I will lose nothing? Well, Jesus is clearly referring to the resurrection of the body because that's what he talks about, right? He says, but I will raise it up on the last day. And when you die, our soul is separated from our body. That's what death is. Death is a separation. We're separated from our body. When we have a funeral, the body of that individual that passed is lying there. That's their body. They have been separated from their body. When we die, we are separated from this earth. We are separated from the physical. We are separated from the material. We are separated from family. We are separated from everything that we have ever known. We're separated from that. And Jesus says here, he says, it is my Father's will that everything he has given me, I will lose nothing, but I will raise it up on the last day. One of the most difficult things sometimes, I believe, especially when we have funerals or when I do a funeral, is when we go to the graveside and we leave the body there. That's hard. The body goes into the ground and we leave it there. But Jesus says here, I will lose nothing, but I will raise it up. And I love this because isn't this what we are looking forward to? That when Christ returns, what is he going to do? He is going to resurrect every single body. What was sown in corruption will be raised incorruptible. People that have had sickness and ailments and problems and difficulties in their life, maybe handicaps, whatever it may be, their bodies will be completely resurrected and made new. Jesus will lose nothing. And so it is the Father's will that not only will he keep your soul, but he will also keep your body. And he will resurrect it. And Jesus says to his disciples, now you are the gift of the Father to me, and I will not let any of you go, but not only will I save each of you, I will redeem every single part of you. I won't lose your soul and I won't lose your body. So what is the Father's will? The Father's will is that all that he gives to the Son, body and soul, the Son will lose nothing. Every part of you will be redeemed. And so he wants you to know this. This is the Father's will. We can have complete and total confidence in God for what he says and what he does, that he gives me to the Son. I come to him, I believe on him, and the Son keeps me. He will lose nothing, body and soul. Jesus says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. Let's look at the second thing here. How does the Father accomplish his will? Take a look at verse number 38. Now notice these words. Jesus tells us something that no one else in human history could ever have truly said. Look what he says. I have come down from heaven. Where did Jesus come from? From heaven. That's where Jesus came from. He came down from heaven. Before he was born into this world as a baby, he was at the right hand of God. And he says, I've come down from heaven. No prophet could ever have said that. No religious teacher or leader could have ever said that I have come down from heaven. And why did he come down from heaven? Well, look what he tells us. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Here's why I came into the world, Jesus says. I came to get the Father's will done. He's given me a task. He's told me what I need to do, and I'm going to do it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that not what Jesus prayed? This is why I came into the world. I came to do the will of him who sent me. See, God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has a will. So how does God accomplish his will? Well, he accomplishes his will through his son, Jesus Christ. God gets his will done through his son, Christ. And Jesus says, that is why I'm here. Now notice at the beginning of this verse, the word for, see it? For I have come down from heaven. And verse 38 really is an explanation of what has previously been said in verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. See, so Jesus is doing exactly what God told him to do, told him what the Father told him to do. Sometimes we wrestle with questions such as, I believed in Jesus, but is it possible that perhaps in the end, God may change his mind? Maybe you ask, maybe my faith was not strong enough. Maybe I didn't say the right words. Maybe I wasn't sincere enough. Maybe I didn't do everything I was supposed to do. Maybe God might just decide to change his mind. Maybe I haven't lived up to his standard enough. And in the end, I might come up short. Well, here's the answer to all of that. No. Why? Because it is the will of the Father that the Son should lose nothing of all that he has been given. And your salvation rests ultimately not in the strength of your grip on Jesus, but his grip on you. It's not in the strength of what you have done, but in the strength of what he has done. According to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Father gives you to the Son. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9, God gives you the faith to believe and the grace to actually be saved. So it's nothing of yourself. It is all of God. Our salvation comes from him. He will lose nothing of all that the Father has given to him, and Jesus was ready for whatever it took to get the Father's will done. This is why I've come into the world, Jesus says, to get the will of the Father done. And what did it take to get the Father's will done? I think you know the answer to that question, don't you? It was the cross. Jesus went to the cross. He took our sin debt upon himself. He became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus bore the wrath of God. He was punished for our sin, our iniquities, our guilt, our punishment. All of that was laid on Jesus, and the Father punished the Son instead of us. And he died. And he resurrected from the grave. And this was the Father's will. And it was all through his Son in order to accomplish it. I want you to see something very powerful here. If you put these things together, you look at this, when you put these verses together, you see how important it is that the Father's will is actually done and accomplished through what Jesus said he was going to do. If you will, this is the believer's promise, eternal life and to be raised up in the last day. That's the promise that we've been given, eternal life, and you will be raised up in the last day. So how do we know that this is actually going to actually happen, and I don't have to worry about, well, maybe I didn't do enough, maybe I wasn't sincere enough, maybe my heart really wasn't. How do we actually know that's going to happen? Well, in this way, there's almost like a triangle of protection here, and I'll show you this, okay? John chapter number 6, this is the first side of the triangle. John chapter 6, verse 37 to 38. The Father gave you to Jesus. That's the Father. The Father gave you to Jesus, okay? Second side of the triangle. The will of the Father is that Jesus will lose nothing of what he has been given. The Father gave you to Jesus, the will of the Father, Jesus will lose nothing of what he's been given. And the third side of this, verse number 40, Jesus says, I have come to do the will of the Father. Now, if you put these three things together, almost in a way, you kind of have this like triple lock security system here, okay? You are completely secure in Christ because the Father gave you to the Son. It is the will of the Son that he will lose nothing and he's going to raise it up on the last day. And I have come to do the will of the Father. It's unbreakable. It's unstoppable. The Son should not lose any of those he has been given. And Jesus has come into the world with this absolute commitment and promise that he will do the will of the Father. I'm going to do it. And it's the will of the Father that he will not lose you. And he has come to get that will done. And so we can have total confidence in what this is, the will of the Father. And he keeps us. And he will raise us up on the last day. So here's the last thing. Number three, how can what the Father wills become mine? Now let's look here at verse number 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Now looking at verses 37, 38, 39, and 40, do you know what the most important theme is? Now if you're thinking eternal life or not being cast out, Jesus not losing any or being raised up, that's not it. The most important theme in all of these verses is the will of the Father. That's the most important thing. God has a will, and it cannot be broken. You can't manipulate it. You can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't hinder it because it's the will. Now, here we go. Think about this. It is the will of Almighty God. Are you going to change the will of God? No. For those of us that have children, have had children, you know, kids can sometimes have their own will. I'm going to do this. Well, guess what? You know, as the parent, you can say, no, you're not going to do that, and I'm going to change what you want to do, right? You can't do that to God. It is his will, the will of the Father. It's the will of the Father. It's the most important thing. Have you ever met somebody who's strong-willed? Maybe you might be sitting next to somebody, spouses, maybe strong-willed, right? And you think about that, somebody who's strong-willed, right? They have this drive. They have determination. They're persistent. And once you get a hold of something, you will not let it go. That's what it means to be strong-willed. Now, Jesus here in this verse tells us again about the Father's will, the will of God. How strong is the will of Almighty God? How strong is that? His mind is infinite. He knows all things. His love is boundless and everlasting. You can't measure its depth or its height. How strong is the will of Almighty God? And so when he determines to do something, there is no power in heaven or earth or in hell that could ever possibly stop him. And so if it is the Father's will that he gives you to the Son, that's his will. He's given us to the Son. And he gives us to the Son. And what does it say here? This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, what? Believes in him, should have eternal life. So when we see this, what Jesus says, Almighty God in his powerful will is abundantly good in giving us a precious gift of eternal life. What is eternal life? Have you ever thought about that? What is eternal life? Eternal life is more than a life that never ends. It's not just living forever and ever 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 and ever. No, yeah, that's true. But what is real eternal life? Isn't it interesting that Jesus actually tells us what eternal life is? Flip with me over to John chapter 17. I want to show you this. Look at John chapter 17. Check out verse number 3. Well, let's just start in verse 1. I think that might be a good place to start there. But again, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you, what? Have given him. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life, Jesus? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life then? To know God. Yes, we are going to live forever, but this is what makes eternal life so awesome, okay? And eternal life doesn't begin necessarily when you die, okay? When you were given eternal life, you were given Jesus, right? You were given God. You were given the Holy Spirit. He's come to dwell in you. We have eternal life now, already. And what is that eternal life? That we know God. And so as a person who's been given eternal life, this life here now, I'm coming to know God in a greater way. I'm coming to know his love and his compassion and his mercy. And all of the attributes of who God is, he proves himself to be faithful over and over. I can pray to him. I can talk to him, right? He answers prayers. He works in my life. He leads me. He guides me. All these things are true. But in eternity, the moment that we pass from death to life, the moment that we take our last breath here and we're separated, right? And then when we're resurrected to new life, for all of eternity, guess what we're going to be doing? Sitting on some hillside somewhere, sipping lemonade and talking to Noah. Nope. We are going to know God for all of eternity. And because God is so infinite, so powerful, and so in who he is, you cannot plummet the depths of who he is. For all of eternity, he is going to be revealing himself, who he is to us for all of eternity. That's true eternal life. And we're going to know him in a greater way, more and more and more for all of eternity. And you will no longer ever be able to plummet or exhaust who he is for all of eternity. So if God wills this, what are we called to do? Look on the Son and believe in him. He calls on you to play an active part. Do you see it there? This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him is granted eternal life. That's the will of the Father. And he's done this. And so it simply means to look, to believe in Jesus, what he's done, what he's accomplished. He went to the cross for us, and we believe the gospel. We believe what God has done for us, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus as the only way of salvation. So this is at least the very first thing that we can know. This is the will of the Father, and we can have great confidence in that. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.